Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Here's our message for today. Here's what I wanted to share with you and talk about today. Yes, our King Jesus, the one and only Son of God, is risen. He is risen. And the story that we tell about that is that in order to be risen, you must first be dead. And the celebration of Jesus being risen and overcoming death, overcoming what we may see as the biggest, greatest fear and challenge in our life, is indeed a celebration. And it's something that Christians, if you find yourself as a Christian or a believer today, is what we have hope in, it's what we look forward to, it's what we celebrate, not just today, but the hope that it would be when, always. But the story that I want to share with you today, in order to have hope be hope, and joy be joy, is that in the midst of that story, and my guess would be in the midst of your story, is that God's life and his providence and his hope and his sovereignty and his goodness are those things. But it's absolutely in the midst of doubt. It's in the midst of struggle. And it's in the midst of uncertainty. And it's in the midst of failure. And it's in the midst of, I don't know what's going on. And God, I don't know if I'm okay. And Lord, what are you doing? And God, I know you've said certain things. And I'm not really sure. That context is the context in which God invites every single one of us, the disciples, the believers in the story, to say, again, will you trust me? Will you place your hope and your faith in me? And so it's not everything was really good and then Jesus rose and it was still really good. That's not the story. And I think for some of us, we think that that's what the story of Christianity is, maybe because that's what we have been told, or maybe that's the lives that we've seen other people lead. Everything's great. They've got it all figured out. They don't make mistakes. They never worry or doubt. There's no stress or anxiety. Nothing bad ever happens. And so those people love Jesus because everything's always great and it still is great. And it's going to still be great, right? And those of you that have given your life to the Lord, you know that what? That's not true, is it? No. But maybe we may hear that. And if you haven't heard that, maybe that's the inclination that you have. Is if I put my faith and trust in Jesus, everything's going to be just fine. It's going to be great. I'm never going to have any struggle. Now, that's not true. But what is true is in the midst of whatever may come our way, God is still good. He is still faithful. He is still risen. There is still life. There is still joy. But we have to see that it's in the midst of that reality, the reality of life, the reality of the gospel resurrection story, and that eyes to see, that perspective is what God says will give you life and joy. It's not the absence of, it's in the middle of, in which we say we can have hope and joy in God who has overcome, regardless of the situation that I find myself in and in my circumstances. As Paul the Apostle says, when it's really good and I have everything I need and it's obvious that God is blessing me, will I give him praise? Because he's risen and God has overcome. And when I don't have any idea, God, what you're doing, when I can't figure it out, it makes no sense. When God, I've trusted you and what's happening? God, I'm trying and this is the result? And Father, we're faithful to you and the whole world says, no way, that pity be on you for believing in such a thing. Look what's happening to you. Yes, in the midst of that is what God actually gives us our resurrection story. And so today we're gonna tie a couple things together. One, as a community and a church family, we've been walking through the book of Jude. Jude has been telling us to contend or to fight for that faith and that belief in circumstances that are tough. And then we're going to transition this concept from Jude of hope and of faith and of mercy and of love. And we're going to see that in our resurrection story. So the title of this message is When in Doubt. When in doubt, Jesus is risen. When in doubt, will we contend to have that faith in belief? When you doubt, is God still God? When it doesn't make sense, is he still risen? Do we still praise him? Do we still believe that? And how do we see that in the text today? This message is for you. And it's also for those that you know that are in doubt, that do not believe, that do not have faith, that do not have hope, that have been overcome by the world, that their circumstances have rendered them hopeless and joyless and directionless and purposeless and lifeless. This is the gospel message, the good news to all people, regardless of where we find ourselves, because oftentimes our circumstances are the same, but our faith and our belief and our hope may not be. And so let's look into the text. You have your notes there. We're going to dive in as we transition again. Jude, we've talked about how in verse 2 of Jude, he says that more and more or in abundance or multiplied to you, Jude says to believers, may you have mercy and peace and love. Mercy and peace and love amidst of any circumstances you may have. He goes on to say, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, to appeal to you, to contend for faith, to fight for the faith, to work towards building your faith, to put into practice your faith and your belief. Why would he be saying to fight for that, to contend for it, to build it up? Well, in this context, he's saying there's lots of people that have different thoughts about who God is. They've taken grace and they've twisted it and changed it. So Jude is saying fight for the faith, but he's also saying to all people in all times that are believers, faith is a journey, it's a process. It takes the working out to have, to believe, to build up. And so much like Jude says to the church then, I will share with you today, even on Resurrection Easter Sunday, are you a person that is willing to say, I hope that I'm putting my faith into practice in my life, regardless of the circumstances you find yourself in. For he is risen, amen? So that would be hope to say, yes, I want to put that into practice. Jude further goes on, and he says, to build yourselves up in your most holy faith, to pray in the Spirit, and to keep yourself in the love of God. He says, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Jesus leads to life eternally, now for believers and forever for believers. Jesus is life eternal. And we'll come back to that. He says, have mercy for those who doubt. When in doubt, right? Have mercy for those who are doubting. Jesus has mercy on us when we doubt. He continues to say, by doing so, we will help save or snatch people from the fire of life that they've created, to show others mercy by having fear, even hating the garment that they wear, meaning the decisions that they make, a life that is ruled by sin, that is destroyed by selfishness, that we all do, that we all have tendencies to walk in, that we're to grieve that for one another, but to have mercy and faith to help people build their trust in Jesus. He goes on, verse in 24, it says, now to him, and this is where we transition to our resurrection story. This is the end of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. See, Jude has hope. Jude has faith, Jude has trust, and he implores, he encourages us to have the same thing. And he points to the only way, the only means that brings joy and hope in life, and that's to God, who is sovereign, who is in control, through Jesus. What is it that he has accomplished through Jesus? Well, Jesus has given us a model, he's given us a message. He's given us the Savior that we call him through what he has done in his teaching and in his walk and in his faithfulness, in his obedience to God. He's given us something to look for, which is what we would build our faith to be. And he has gone through what we celebrate today, this week, right? The challenge of going before and being a self-sacrifice to set us free, to give us hope in the middle of doubt, to overcome even death, not just death, even death, to give us something to put our hope and trust in. Not even the grave can hold him. And so Jude alludes to that. A couple definitions here, and then we're going to take a little journey through our Easter story. I want to ask some questions. And so even from Jude to Easter, we see that God talks about faith, right? Faith. And I've put a couple Hebrew and Greek words in there just for reference for those of you that like notes. I do. So I make them. Faith, right? Iman, or the word pistis, is to stand firm, to trust, to be certain in, or to have belief. That belief to stand firm, which takes work. It takes work to have faith and trust. He says we're going to contend for that. We're going to build that. This idea of mercy, or the word hesed or elios, the Greek and in the Hebrew, says to have compassion or forgiveness towards someone whom it's within the power to punish or harm. Let's say that one again. Compassion or forgiveness towards someone when someone has the ability, the right, the authority to what? Yeah, to punish or to harm. Another definition for that is not getting what you deserve. Right? That's what mercy is. It's not getting what you deserve. The idea of grace is getting something that you don't deserve. Not getting what you deserve is this concept of mercy. Jude says, be merciful. Jesus is merciful to us. Peace, shalom, or the word irene in the Greek, means, yes, peace, but harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity also, tranquility or welfare. Sometimes we like in our culture just to use those last couple, right? Peace means prosperity. Well, not just. Wholeness and completeness is this idea from the text. We also see that love, right, is this other word in here, this agape, or it's this other iman word, is goodwill, benevolence of God, a self-sacrifice and unconditional commitment to one. So Jude says, have those, build those more and more in abundance, be people that are about that. And so when we look at our Easter story, for us today, for you this morning, what does it look like for you to have faith, to contend for faith? Some of us walk in here today and, oh boy, we got it, right? We got it. We got a pocket full of faith today. It's Easter. Man, we are pumped. We are grateful for who God is. We know the story, and Jesus invites you today to be joyful and to remember that, but also to call you to be a steward of that to those that don't have it. That we wouldn't be a people that come one day a year to celebrate what God has done, but daily, in the midst of wherever we are, that we would put that on display. They would invite people into the hope and life that Christ has overcome, that he has not been defeated, and neither are you. That would be the hope of the gospel message. Now, that doesn't mean perfect and awesome and tranquility abounds all over the place, but what it does mean is that we would be a people that point to the faith, to contend, to believe, that we put our lives on display by saying, we remember what God has done for me, I know what God has accomplished on the cross, and I know that he can do that for you as well. And let me tell you about this Easter story, about the doubt, about the fear, about the unknown, about a life that looks like it has been defeated. It looks like there is no hope. A group of people that have gathered together, and when the world takes what it wants, the King Jesus that we praise has been killed. But let me tell you the real truth and the hope that I have in that story is that although that may happen, he is risen and he's alive. Some of you have that faith today because it's Easter and we're excited. Man, would you do something with that? Some of you come in here today and you need to hear that story. You need to hear the faith and the goodness and the life that Jesus has overcome. No, really. He has. And he can and he wants to for you. Which is why the title of this is When in Doubt. Because maybe today you have doubt. Maybe today you don't understand why the results of that test have come back the way that they did. Maybe you don't understand why you lost a friend. Maybe you don't understand why that relationship didn't work, why the finances are not coming together, why every time you try to be faithful and be obedient to God and put your trust in him, it looks like everything is going to go sideways again. Maybe some of you are here today to go, I need some faith in that. Help me understand how I'm to have joy in the middle of this. Man, I can even look at this Easter story and I can go, all of the followers of Jesus, even Jesus himself is like, this is terrible. God, what are you doing? Maybe you sit here today and that's your story. Guess what? Jesus is risen. You can still have hope and faith. And my hope would be that I would invite you in to see that into the text today. In order to see what is really good, we need to see what is not. In order to see what faith is, we need to walk and go, hey, here's what it isn't. to have hope and to have joy and to see what has been overcome, we need to see that which has taken us down, that which pulls us astray. And in the life of Jesus and in the entire story of the text, we'll see a couple things. There's a God that loves. There's a God that always has. There's a God that says you are what he loves the most. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but when it's hard, God says, I'm here with you. I can help you overcome. It may not be the way in which you want it to, but will you put your faith and your trust in me even when you have doubt? If you have doubt today, I hope you have hope after you hear the message. If you have hope today, I hope that you would find those that don't have it and share it with them. And so as we look into our gospel message here, here's a couple, three ways how we can contend for our faith that we see in Easter. Here's how we contend to have faith to believe in Easter. And the first one of how we choose to do that, it'll get us to our Easter story, is we contend by remembering. We contend for the faith by remembering. As we journey together as a church, if you've been here for a while, you'll know. If you're new, welcome. But we often will say, let's go back to what God said in the beginning to remember what it is that he said is true about life, regardless of our experiences. So we build up our faith. We have that hope by remembering that Genesis in the beginning, in chapter 1, that God created all things in his order and in his timing and in his way. And he said that every single thing that he had made in creation was good. Let's go, you guys. And he said at the very end that everything he created is very good. And the last crown jewel of all of creation was man and woman, you. That in the image and likeness of God, you have been created. All that there has ever been with orderness and timeliness and specificity, just the way that God wanted it. All of creation God made and he loved. And the best part of it is man and woman, made in the image of God. And we see that that's what God thinks about you. That's what God thinks about creation. He loves all that he has made, regardless of the decisions that come after. And we see that in the story of Adam and Eve, that with freedom, with love that God has been with, that we make a decision, not just Adam, not just Eve, that people, us, we have a tendency to want a little bit more, a little bit more control, just a little bit more comfort, just a little bit more of what God may or may not give me. I'm not really sure. I have this word that starts with a D that's called doubt, that I'm not sure if I'm enough. I'm not sure that God's enough. I'm not sure that I'm going to be okay. And so Adam and Eve in the beginning, they reach and they ask for more than what God has provided. And we all see that in the beginning that through one man, sin has entered into the world. Sin meaning missing the mark, the opposite of what God wants for us, the opposite of what is good for us, although we think it is, don't we? I just need a little bit more. And that is called the lack of faith and trust in God and a little bit more faith and trust in me. And this is where the entire story begins. Not that you are different than anybody else, because you're not. You are like Adam and Eve. You are like me, that times come and I want to solve my issues for myself. I want to put my faith and my trust in me. And we see throughout the story of history that that results in us hurting each other and hurting ourselves and making decisions that we don't love. And then we have this guilt and we have this shame and we have this sin. And even in the midst of that, when we have doubt, when we are a people that are not walking with God, Jude and Jesus says, be merciful, be gracious. And that's who our God is for us. And so as one sin entered the world, we see that that is how it is taken away. John 3:16 for our Easter message is that for God so loved the world, which we saw in the beginning, did we not? That he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is risen. And so the second way in which we choose to have faith to contend for it is to see the doubt and to see the faith in the gospel story. And so in your notes, there's just a couple key components. I just want to walk through this Easter message, this holy week, if you will, that's in the Bible, of where Jesus goes through the process of becoming our risen Savior. But there's a process that he goes through, there's a process that we go through. And on the front end, we're going to see the doubt. I hope that when you see the doubt in the Easter story, that you would see the doubt in your own story. That you'd be able to relate and go, I'm not alone. Those people that I know, that I love, they're in my family, they're my friends, they work next to me, they're in my community, they're in my neighborhood. They're not alone, because the people in the Bible are the people that are in here. It's the people that are me. Is that in the midst of doubt, God is still at work. God is still faithful? Would we build up our faith to see that he's still at work even in the doubt? And that even in the doubt, we can see the hope and the joy and the faith. The first part, we're going to look at the doubt. If you go through the Holy Week, you'll see that in the New Testament, Jesus enters into the place in which he's going to be crucified. And it's what we call the triumphal entry. And Jesus comes into this town. He's working through Bethany to Jerusalem. And there's some people that see that Jesus is coming into town and they cry out, Hosanna, our King is here. And they're welcoming him. But some believed and most did what? They did not. They see a man that's coming into town on a donkey. There's people that have been hopeful that Jesus is going to be Messiah. He's going to be Savior. He's going to save us. But what happens is that a man rides into town, pretty much unbeknownst to most people, in riding on a donkey. And so this triumphal entry doesn't look so triumphant in the story. It looks like there's doubt. And it says that people see Jesus coming in, and even the Pharisees themselves go, this is your king? This guy right here? And maybe you have doubt in your story too. Jesus enters into your life, and this is what it looks like. I wake up the next day, and here I am. Still the same thoughts, same attitude, same language, same habits. Jesus enters into the greatest part of his story, and most don't believe. There's doubt. I thought he was coming in on a horse and to just crush every doubt there ever was in the lives of the people and in my life. I don't see it. And Jesus moves from the triumphal entry, and we see that as he works through, he's with his disciples, and they sit down, and the night before he's going to be betrayed, they have a Passover meal together, a meal that has been designed for God's people to celebrate, to sit down, to tell story of God's providence, of his redemption, of God being a people that saves his people, that they would sit together and be reminded of that. And Jesus has that meal with his disciples. And at that meal, Jesus shares that one of you is going to betray me. And that even after that, and during that meal, they're arguing about who's the greatest. And then we realize that after that, that Jesus says, I'm going to die. The story just keeps getting better. You're going to deny. And what happens? We see that there's a betrayer that's announced. And that there's going to be one of Jesus's closest friends denies who he is. Maybe you've been in a spot in your life to where you gather together and you're wanting to celebrate who God is. And maybe you realize that somebody's going to betray you or has. Or when you sit down and try to remember God's providence in your life, that you've been like Jesus to one of your best friends actually is going to deny that he even knows you, that he even likes you. And in the time that you need him most, what's intended to be a great meal ends up being a family disaster. Anybody else? Man, hope. Where is it? I see doubt. I see failure. I see rejection. I see denial. I see betrayal. Jesus continues to go on and he tells a couple of his disciples a couple things. He says, greater things are going to be done through you than I have done. Greater things. And he says that I have overcome the world. And in the middle of him sharing that, he says, but the world is going to hate you. And that they're going to kill you, and that it's not going to go well. And so in the middle of what would be one of the best sermons ever, the most encouraging thing you would ever want to hear, we again say that when you walk out your faith, the world's going to attack you. That when you try to be faithful, they're going to say, you're stupid, and you've missed it. And why do you believe that? And how is this even going to work? Jesus says, I've overcome, and greater things you are going to do. And the promise of the Holy Spirit is what he's telling his disciples on the way to the cross. More doubt, more denial, more confusion, more rejection. It's all over in the story. We see that Jesus then is arrested because he has been betrayed. We see that on the way that Jesus is going to be crucified, that his best friend, his lead disciple, denies him three times. That the hope of our king is now on the cross. Jesus even himself in the process of the crucifixion, right? They're waiting for him to get down, to jump off, to do a miracle, to say, oh, it's the last second, it's going to happen. Jesus on the cross cries out, God, why have you forsaken me? And for the eyes that do not see the truth, they see Jesus losing. They see us losing. Have you been in a spot to where you're like, God, I'm trying to sacrifice, I'm doing everything that I can, and I feel like I'm losing. I feel like, God, you're betraying me. God, you're forsaking me. Where are you, God? I thought that it was going to go different. I thought that when I put my faith in you that hard things weren't going to happen. And here comes death. We see that Jesus dies on the cross. And then we wait a couple days, and in the middle of that, we see people that are mourning, that are hiding, that are scattering, that are fearful, because this faith that we had doesn't seem to be faith at all. It seems to be failure. It seems to be a miss. It seems to be full of doubt and distraction and no hope. And then we see that even in the story that Jesus, they go find him, they put him in the tomb. And the next morning that Mary shows up and she is super excited. She's not yet. She says, I'm looking for my Lord. They've taken him. Where is he? Not only has he been killed, but now he's lost. Not only can we not take care of him correctly, but this little bit of hope that's been beaten up, that's been stepped on, that seems like it's a failure, we don't even get to take care of our Jesus. Now we can't even love him in the way in which God asks us to. Does that sound like the resurrection story to y'all? Then guys, why do we live a life like that? Why do we continue to go around like that's the resurrection story? Doubt, denial, failure, brokenness, struggle, difficulty, death. That's what's in the text. Is that what you see? Is that why you came here this morning, is to celebrate that and to go, yep, that's how I am. That's not why I'm here. But why I am here is to say, if we choose to be a people that see that as the truth of the story, then those are the lives that we're going to live. We can walk around and say he is risen, but just be miserable and just be reminded the failure, be reminded the denial, be reminded the rejection, be reminded of death. But that's not why we meet this morning, is it? Because when in doubt, what? Jesus says, contend for the faith. And he is risen. So what if in that story we saw what Jesus is doing? Because from the very beginning, God says, I'm in control. Will you trust me? This is the greatest story that's ever been told. Well, I want to see that part. I don't know about you. So when I read the text, what is true and what my invitation is for you today is, even when you doubt, that we see that Jesus does indeed enter Jerusalem triumphantly. That there are those people that say, when my God comes in on a donkey, it's been talked about like this. It's been prophesied like this. This is what's going to happen. That my king is a humble servant. That those that will see him coming in will say Hosanna, will praise him in the highest. They do know that he has a purpose and a plan. And that the triumphal entry is that for the reason, because he is coming to do what he has wanted to do. The very hour that he has been waiting for, he is approaching, it says. And so we can look back at the triumphal entry of Jesus and hopefully look back at the triumphal entry of him in your life and go, man, when God came into my life, it was subtle and he was humble and it does change me. And I don't care if other people see it or understand it or not, but I do. And he's come to do what he's come to do. And when Jesus meets with his disciples in the upper room, he's not just going, I'm going to be betrayed and I'm sorrowful. He says, will you remember the story of even the Passover meal? That we are a people that will sit down together and say, will you remember that God is the one that brought us out of slavery? Will you remember this morning as you sit here that God is a God that has taken you from a life of death and rescued you from that? That he provides for you just enough. In that meal, they share that together. And Jesus, before he goes to the cross, I'm going to pause for a second. Before he goes to the cross, he sits down with his disciples and he says, don't you forget. Don't forget. Remember that this is who I am. Remember that I am a God that will provide. Remember that when it looks really hard, when you feel like you're in slavery, when you feel like you're in bondage, when you feel like there's no way out, sit down together and remember that I'm faithful. Will you build up your faith when you have doubt? And Jesus goes from there and he says, this is the story that's going to happen. And we see that he goes from that Passover meal. He says, I've overcome the world. You will do greater things than me. Why is he saying that? Because it's true. And when we choose to see he's going to lose, he's saying, what you think you're going to see is not really what it is. It's not really what it is when your circumstances are hard. When you lose a friend, when you lose a relationship, when you lose a job, when the results are cancer, when you're not sure how the ends are going to meet. When that happens, don't forget who I am. I am working. Even in your doubt, will you have faith? Because I'm right here with you. And that story continues to move along. And Jesus ends up being betrayed like he said, like you may have been. You may experience the same thing. Not maybe, but when you do. Jesus says, I've gone through it because when you go through it, you can put your faith in me. And he is arrested and he goes to the cross. And when it looks like it's over and Jesus is hanging on that cross, the symbol that we say is our faith. And Jesus says the words, God, why have you forsaken me? He's saying that because he's remezzing a psalm that says, in the middle of the worst situation that you can think of, in the middle of the worst situation that Jesus is in, hanging on the cross, he remezzes, he calls back to a psalm of David that David was singing to God's people to say, when it doesn't make sense, when it's the hardest circumstance you've ever had, when you're not sure what to do, I go before you. God says, I am not afraid to suffer. I am not afraid to be a person that goes through hard things for you. Will you see that I'm up here for you? Do not be afraid. God will not forsake you. He is with you. I will overcome. And in that moment where you stare down that doubt, where you sit today, or what you used to, or that person that you love, you can be a person that says, in the middle of that, my God loves you, and you can have faith. And you may not see it today. You may not see it this evening. What you may see next is death, in denial, in disobedience. But I'm here to tell you the cross is the symbol of God saying, I'm not afraid to suffer and go before you because what you will go through, I have been through. Will you contend to have faith in it? Jesus dies on the cross. There may be death in your life. There may be struggle in your life. And you may feel like the disciples and you may feel like Mary to go, God, I don't know what happened. But that's why we are here today, is to celebrate that 3 days later, Jesus is risen. He's overcome. Guys, not just death. What would it be that we would choose to go, the thing we're scared of the most, death, losing whatever it is that we have, whatever we've built, that Jesus says, even that greatest doubt that you have, the greatest worry that you have, even that, guys, I've overcome. What would it be to be a life that celebrates that Jesus has overcome that? What would it be to say, how about our lives are not just to avoid death, but instead to chase and have life? So Jesus, the third day, when Mary goes, where is my Lord? I haven't seen him. I don't know what to do with him. He decides that when the tomb is empty, that he shows up. And the disciples and Mary and everybody else is blown away that God has been faithful and shown up again. Hope, faith in doubt is what the resurrection story is. He is risen in their doubt. He is risen from the cross. He is risen to have hope for you, for them, for us, when we feel like there is none. It's the greatest story there is. Resurrection Sunday, that Jesus is alive, has meant that he has gone through what you have been through. That is hope. That is life. To meet people in the middle of their doubt. And I'm going to end with this today. It's Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. I'm going to read this to give us hope. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope for the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we are still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now, how much? Now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Verse 11. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. It's in our greatest doubt that we need to contend for our greatest faith. And our greatest doubts is when God gives us our most mercy. In the greatest chaos, God offers us the greatest peace. And through the greatest death, we receive the greatest life. Church, I hope today that we'd be encouraged to say, in doubt, we have faith to contend for it. that Jesus is risen, that he has overcome. Not only the world, but the doubt that we may have. That we would choose to have life as he has given life.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.